Good morning, everybody. It's 9-11 from 830 WCCO News Radio. I'm Michael Dixon in for John Williams this morning. Nice to have you with us. A lot of interesting things on the program today. The START Treaty, of course, was ratified, but what does that really mean? We're going to talk about that. Also, if you're into travel, you might find it interesting to know that Columbia is the hot new tourist destination, not Columbia University in New York. We're talking about the cartel Columbia in South America. But anyway, we have a guest from Lonely Planet who's going to talk to us about that. And be honest now, do you still have people to buy for? We're going to talk to an expert about what's out there. And then what about holiday tipping? Who do you tip? The postman? Who do you tip? And how much do you tip? We'll even ask you about your favorite Christmas song, plus news, traffic, weather, all the stuff that we regularly give you. But listen, something happened last week. Before I talk about that, just a moment of, not silence, but just smiles about the passing of Fred Foy. They mentioned it on the newscast just a moment ago on CCO. And how sad that is. You know, there are these iconic voices on the radio. These were the days, you know, before you had television and everything was radio and you had no, you know, nonverbal communication skills, you know, the wink of an eye or the throwing your hands around or whatever. It was all done with a voice. And there were some of those guys that were part of that radio family in the early days that had voices that you would recognize anywhere. But Fred Foy, when nobody said the words Lone Ranger, the way he did Ranger, or the way he did that was so memorable. I once interviewed Clayton Moore, who played him on, actually some on radio, but mostly on television, played the Lone Ranger. And we talked a little bit about that and about Fred Foy and about this incredibly distinctive voice. Then there was a guy, and I don't know who it was. Maybe you remember, if you listened to radio way back in the day, they used to say, Lipton tea and Lipton soup present. You know, you couldn't get away with doing stuff like that today because it sounds artificial, but somehow it didn't then, you know. So Fred Foy passed away. God bless him for all of the work he did and the joy he gave us just when he introduced the Lone Ranger. And, of course, he did a lot of other stuff, too. Okay, anyway, I wanted to say that before we got underway. But let's get underway. The FCC this week, did something. They were addressing something called net neutrality. Do you know about this? It's very interesting because it has to do with the Internet and how we get it, whether we can be charged more for it, whether commercial operators can find a way to make an extra buck on it by charging us at a time when the Internet is essentially free. Once you pay your Internet service provider to give you the Internet, it flows, right? And we have access to that information. Well, the FCC voted to pass what is called net neutrality. And I thought you might find it interesting to find out just how that affects you and your home and everything else. So on the line right now is Brian Grogan, who's chair of communications and infrastructure practice areas with Moss and Barnett. Brian, thanks very much for joining us. This isn't something, I mean, all of a sudden this thing happened. It wasn't as though any of us were paying attention to this over the last couple of months or anything. It just was suddenly there. So first of all, good morning. And second of all, what's going on and what is it?
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
It's one of those issues that it hasn't been on the front page, so a lot of the consumers haven't looked at it, but it has been percolating out in Washington, D.C. for the better part of a couple years now, and they actually had 100,000 comments submitted to the FCC about how to write these rules. So it's clearly a hot topic among the Silicon Valley and communications providers out in the country.
And how does it matter to us, to me, when I get up in the morning or go to bed at night? How will I either know a difference or might have known a difference?
Well, what it tries to prevent is a change in the Internet. The Internet right now is kind of the Wild West. Anybody can go out there and put up a blog or put up a website, and you have the exact same speed to the consumer's computer terminal as eBay or Netflix or anybody else. Mm-hmm. Everything flows with the same speed. What this set of regulations is trying to prevent is the Internet service providers, so the Comcasts and the AT&Ts and the Time Warners of the world, from slowing down certain websites or providing preferences to certain websites.
Preferences how? In terms of speed?
Exactly. So if If, for example, Netflix wanted to be really fast into your household so you can watch a movie with the family this weekend, they may pay extra money so that they can get on, you know, kind of a fast lane on the freeway, on the information superhighway. Mm-hmm. They would pay to play. And that's a phrase that's bandied about in D.C. right now. Whereas an entrepreneur who's starting a competing video streaming service wouldn't have the money to pay to play, so their service would be substantially slower. And the fear among consumer advocates is you would then have these major companies dominating the internet, and you'd have companies like Comcast, Quest, and others that actually would be the gatekeeper. Who gets to pay, you know, pay to play, yeah, and who doesn't? And particularly, there was concern that if Comcast is a, they're going to try to buy NBC and be a content provider themselves, would they favor their own content over competing services?
I would.
Yeah, and you know, who's to say who's right on that? I mean, if you're a shareholder of Comcast, if you happen to own some of their stock, you know, you may look at this and say, well, this could squelch, their profitability. This mm-hmm. could deter the economy and people trying to, use this new medium to deliver a profit. So who's to say who's right? But these rules are designed to try to help the consumer make sure that, that the content is delivered in the same manner.
Well, that's interesting. We're going to be back with you, Brian, in just a second. I need to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about whether or not there are going to be court challenges to this, because the FCC may be all-powerful when it comes to broadcasting, but when it gets into the area of the Internet, that's a kind of murky water. So we'll talk to Brian about that when we come back in just a moment on 830-WCCO. But your news, your talk, you listen to WCCO on your iPhone or iPad. You can do what you know. Download the radio.com app now and stay connected anywhere, anytime. Radio.com. Get the app now at WCCO.com. And we'll be right back. I'm Michael Dixon. Good morning to you. Welcome to the John Williams Show. John is off today, and so we'll be spending a little bit of time together, along with Brian Grogan, who is Chair of Communications and Infrastructure Practice Areas with Moss and Barnett. And thank you very much for joining us this morning, Brian. And by the way, let me give you the phone numbers in case you want to call and ask Brian a question about this and how it might affect you. If you're in business, let us say, or even if you aren't, you know, will this have any kind of impact on you? Number 651-989-9226. That's 651-989-9226 or 866-989-9226. Brian, the idea of the FCC making regulations one way or another, permissive or impermissive, to what we can do with it, do they have absolute authority over the Internet, or is this a gray area?
Oh, it's absolutely a gray area, and the number of entities lining up to challenge this will be long. One of the interesting things about this regulation, first of all, it hasn't been released yet, so everybody's basing their opinions on notes that the FCC has kind of filtered out here. But consumer advocates don't like it, and they may challenge it because they don't think the FCC went far enough.
What did they want them to do that they didn't do?
Well, in particular, there's a lot of concern that they didn't go far enough on mobile devices. You know, these rules apply not only to what you do on your computer, but what you do on your iPhone or your iPad or any of those different devices.
Yeah.
And in that area, the FCC kind of punted by saying, that's still a developing area. We're not sure how aggressive we should be. So those on your mobile devices, they could still potentially have paid prioritization. So let's give you an example. If you had a telephone, and let's assume that you want to use Google Maps so
right.
that you can navigate as you drive your car, or, you know, walk through the streets, but you go with a service where they have their own, navigator service, AT&T Navigator or something that they would charge you $5 a month to use, and you say, well, no, thank you, I'd rather use Google Maps. This set of regulations will not prevent the company like AT&T from saying, we're going to, you know, require paid prioritization for a competing service. So it really will allow them to favor their own applications as opposed to those that would be out available on the web that could compete with them.
So people are lined up now to, organizations are lined up to challenge us before the courts. Where does the FCC get its authority? Because it's not a standalone entity that can do what it wants. I mean, there are certain parameters, aren't there? Who gives them the authority?
Well, all authority for any federal agency, including the FCC, comes from Congress.
Right.
So the law has to give them the ability to regulate. And, you know, agencies can go a long way with just one sentence of authority. And there is some language in the Cable Act, I won't bore you with the details of the citation, but that basically says they're responsible to ensure, you know, the delivery of communication services in an efficient and competitive manner. And they can interpret that as broadly as they want. The problem is the FCC about 2 years ago got slapped down on a similar kind of issue where Comcast challenged their authority to do just what they're doing now. The FCC has kind of changed their basis for how they're structuring these regulations so that they can try to defend them better. Mm-hmm. But right now the FCC is already 0-for-1 in court on defending these kinds of regulations. So it's very questionable whether they would be able to withstand a court challenge. And as we know, we have a new Congress coming in. The Congress, you know, is already, many of the Republican leaders in the House have already come forward and said that they plan to hold hearings, present legislation to basically undo these regulations and try to get back to, you know, the Internet being unregulated, which would certainly favor the ISPs like Comcast, Quest, and those companies.
So actually what you have competing political philosophies here. One that says, listen, everybody ought to be able to have access to it. Nobody should have an advantage over anybody else the way we would like to think that it operates today. But at the same time, then you got the other side that says, now look, you know, if they want to make a couple of bucks here and there, it's after all their service. They've spent the money. They have a company. They're providing the service. And if they want to divide it up and do it that way, well, then that's all right. There seems to be a sort of internet is sacrosanct philosophy that has been out there throughout the world, that the internet was really, that really belonged to the people. It was a people's way of communicating, of accessing information, of doing any number of things. And the beauty of the internet was that it was kind of sanitized that way. It didn't have the dirty hands of business clawing at it.
Right. And it's been just what you described for the past 15 years. And now it seems it's maturing. And you have companies that are out there that, you know, large telephone companies that have built this network, and they look at it and say, this isn't a utility. This isn't regulated like an electric grid or the gas distribution system. This is a private network. And why should eBay and Google and everybody else be out making money on it, and we can't pay for the pipe that delivers it? You know, we can't charge for that.
Yeah.
And they make a good point on that. So there are definitely competing interests and, you know, literally hundreds of billions of dollars at stake. So we can all expect a court challenge. But, you know, I heard, Michael, a good analogy that kind of puts it in perspective. If there weren't these regulations in place, it might be like you calling up Joe's Pizza, saying, I want to order a pizza. But instead they put you on hold and they say, you can wait here for 10 minutes to talk to Joe's Pizza, or we'll transfer you to Pizza Hut right now, because they've paid to have faster transmission over the phone line.
Now you're speaking to the core of the issue.
Yeah, and you know, people
yeah.
don't like that, but
no.
What's wrong with a company setting up a prioritization yeah. to favor one business partner over another? These rules are trying to prevent that. You know, whether that's good or bad for the consumer and for the economy and for development, that's the debate that's going on.
Indeed. Listen, we are out of time, but I thank you for this, Brian. It was a nice exposition of what's going on out there. We appreciate it. We'll follow it with you. Thanks for being with us on CCO.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
All right, fine. Okay, I'm Michael Dixon, in for John Williams. You're listening to The John Williams Show on News Radio 830 WCCO. We'll take a break. Back in a moment with traffic and weather together.